Good evening, everyone. This is Deidre, and I'm filling in for Corinne this week, who's off at a conference doing some wonderful teaching, and I'm sure that she will fill us in on how that went for her next week. I'm very honored and thankful and grateful to be spending this time with all of you. I look forward to our Sunday group so much, and just thank you for everyone who listens in to the calls and is here on the calls live. We sure love everyone, one family here, and I look forward to reading with you tonight. And so before I give the page numbers out, I just want to take a moment and just give this entire call over to Holy Spirit. Taking a moment to breathe and be present. And just allowing the Holy Spirit to be in charge at our request. As Corinne always says each week, be you in charge, for we would follow you. Knowing that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge at our request. Okay, so now I'm going to go through the page numbers. In the Sparkle edition, it's going to be chapter 15, page 356.
356?
356.
Yes.
Okay. Hang on here, I'm just having an issue with my computer. Oh, my mouse stopped working. Hang on. Okay, there we go. So the section in chapter 15 of the Sparkle is called Practicing the Holy Instant. And I'll just grab the other editions. Corinne left me a note. So in the original edition, it's chapter 15, part 5. The subheading might be a little bit different. I'm not sure. I don't have the original edition. And in the FIP edition, it's chapter 15. I believe it's part 6, IV in Roman numerals is what it is. So let's get started with our reading for tonight. So practicing the holy instant. The course is not beyond immediate learning, unless you prefer to believe that what God wills takes time. And this means only that you would rather delay the recognition that His will is so. The holy instant is this. one and everyone. The one you want it to be, it is. The one you would not have it be is lost to you. You must decide on when it is. Delay it not, for beyond the past and future, in which you will not find it, it stands shimmering readiness for your acceptance. Yet you cannot bring it into glad awareness while you do not want it, for it holds whole relief from littleness. Your practice must therefore rest upon your goal. The instant in which magnitude will dawn upon you is but as far away as you desire for it. As long as you desire it not, and cherish littleness instead, by so much it is far from you. By so much as you want it, it will you bring it nearer. Think not that you can find salvation in your own way and have it. Give over every plan that you have made for your salvation in exchange for God's. His will content you, and there is nothing else that can bring you peace, for peace is of God and of no one beside him. And I'll pause there. So I love the first sentence because the Course is really talking to us about accepting the fact that we do not exist in linear time. Linear time is a human idea that we have a past, a present, and a future. And really what the Course is talking about is that achieving the holy instant is immediate. It doesn't take time. But it's our choosing for the other thought system, the fear-based thought system, that actually delays our learning or our acceptance of the holy instant. So it says the Course is not beyond, and it's our choice to prefer to believe that what God will takes time. So God's will is always right there for us immediately. And if we're feeling any kind of discomfort or suffering or, confusion or questioning, we're not in line with God then. We're somewhere else. We're temporarily misaligned with the truth. So I think just that in and of itself is so powerful to just stand back and recognize that whenever we feel alone, when we feel like, where's God in this? It just means that we're temporarily not seeing with truth, that we're seeing something that isn't the truth.
I think we do it to keep the body identification going, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we want to be right about it. And that's why this is so difficult at times, you know, because, well, I should really only speak for myself, but, you know, I get caught up in that body identification and,
Thinking
this whole thing is real.
Yeah, and it's really confronting, or it can be really confronting to say, hey, look, you know, there's part of me that really still believes in this. There's part of me that likes the conflict, the contrast.
Yep.
So that can be the moment where, you know, something doesn't materialize the way that we'd like it to be, or we think something should be different, and we're in that moment and we're not enjoying ourselves. You know, it can feel like, hey, I didn't ask for this, I didn't create this, but, you know, we did. So,
and actually, I think the more we can just relax around all of that, whatever it is we're wanting manifests, it comes about.
Yeah.
But not when you're in that struggle and, you know, planning like this talks about.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, something interesting happened this week. My granddaughter is an artist. She's a computer artist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she got involved in a startup company that's in Portugal. But everything is done online, and they have, you know, they work together online. And this has been going on for about a year, and she's talked to me about it a few times. She's very low-key about it. And, you know, right away my thinking would be, oh, how is this going to pan out? How is this going to work? And as soon as I would hear that negative voice, it was like, stop it. Just stop it. Just let this be. This whole thing is starting to really come into being, this project that she's involved in. And she's kind of on the ground floor of it, and it's very, but every time I would have any negative thoughts around it or even think too much about it at all, I was just determined not to do that and just see it. Well, Carol always says, see it right. Just see it right. And I don't even know what that means personally, but it was just let it happen. Just let it happen the way it's supposed to happen and stop thinking about it. And I'm telling you, it's exciting to see how this is coming about, you know?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. Detachment is really key, and just letting Holy Spirit be in charge of everything.
Yes.
I think, you know, reflecting on what I talked about last week about schooling, I can see, you know, there was a part of my mind that really got attached to the idea of one specific school. And I can see that. And I don't necessarily think that I was, you know, off the path in any way, shape, or form, but I can see how, you know, things can snowball really quickly, and you can not be even consciously aware that you've built up an attachment. So I don't have any guilt or blame about it, but I can look back and reflect and see that, yeah, I did subtly build up some expectation and some things around that one specific outcome. So now, I've been tuning in this week, and I don't feel that I'm being guided to give up the idea of doing counseling work. I feel that's very strong in my path, but I'm very open to anything presenting itself. I'm not attaching myself to it.
Excellent. That's it.
Anything. So
that is it.
Yeah.
So. I support you in that.
Thank you. Yeah, I wrote out a desire list this morning, and basically, I just want to work for God. I want to work for God. I want the peace of God, and I want to work for God. That's it.
And just step back and let Him show you how.
Yeah, exactly. And that was always my intention to begin with, but when things started to happen, Like, when I got the acceptance letter, that's when things started to shift and I started to get an attachment.
Yes.
And it's really subtle and I didn't even really notice it happening. So,
it's subtle. It's subtle. The ego is subtle.
Yeah. So.
And it really, and once you kind of get hooked in there, it's, for me, I have to call on the Holy Spirit and these, get this off of me.
Yeah.
Help me. And then, you know, I start to feel more relaxed. And that's always, whenever, you know, you're working with the Holy Spirit, that seems to be the big thing. You know, all of a sudden, it just doesn't mean so much. It's not so important. You know, and you start to relax.
And I really must reiterate again that after having a week to really meditate and reflect on this, is that the whole thing unfolded perfectly. Like, I followed my intuition, I followed my signs, I spoke to spirit the whole way through, but the whole thing was orchestrated perfectly, down to not getting the funding that I needed to go. Because initially, my first reaction was to blame myself. Like, why didn't I get it? What did I do that I should have done differently? And now I see that how perfect that is, because now I can stand and see that that's an area where my small self likes to grab, you know, hook into me and tell me that I'm guilty and bad. And I'm not.
Amen.
Amen.
So it's perfect the way that it all materialized, because, you know, hopefully I won't do that again.
You know, Deidre, the thing is, I don't even be concerned about that. You know, because that's always my thinking too. Let me learn from this. It's all right, because the Holy Spirit is with us in every moment, every situation, and will undo. Oh my God, what did I read the other morning? He will. Wait. One second, it's right here. Because I was being very hard on myself, and I thought, I better open the book and I better do it now, because this is ridiculous. Yet if the Holy Spirit can commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing, then it cannot be a sin. This is the Rock of Salvation, chapter 25. And, I mean, I was really beating myself up. And I opened to that page. The Holy Spirit can commute each sentence that you laid upon yourself into a blessing. And I just said, well, please help me be aware of your blessing. That's what I'm open to. And that, I don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. But I'm open to it in this situation that I felt that I screwed up.
Yeah, no, it's fine if I do it again. Like, it'll be fine. But I mean, I just think that I don't need to put myself through that.
Right. So. We want to learn our lessons gently. We want to learn our lessons gently. You know, the perfectionist in me wants it all to be perfect, you know, and I really need to be healed of that, because it just is what it is, and it's fine.
So let's read a little bit more. Be humble before him, and yet great in him, and value no plan of the ego before the plan of God. For you leave empty, your place in his plan, which you must fulfill if you would join with me by your decision to join in any plan but his. I call you to fulfill your holy part in the plan that he has given to the world for its release from littleness. God would have his host abide in perfect freedom. Every allegiance to a plan of salvation that is apart from him diminishes the value of his will for you in your own mind, and yet it is your mind that is the host to him. Would you learn how perfect and immaculate is the holy altar on which your Father has placed himself? This you will recognize in the holy instant in which you willingly and gladly give over every plan but his, for there lies peace, perfectly clear, because you have been willing to meet its conditions. You can claim the holy instant any time and anywhere you want it. In your practice, try to give over every plan you have accepted for finding magnitude in littleness. It is not there. Use the holy instant only to recognize that you alone cannot know where it is and can only deceive yourself. I stand within the holy instant as clear as you would have me, and the extent to which you learn to be willing to accept me is the measure of the time in which the holy instant will be yours. I call to you to make the holy instant yours at once for the release from littleness in the mind of the host of God depends on willingness and not on time. The reason why this course is simple is that truth is simple. Complexity is of the ego and is nothing more than the ego's attempt to obscure the obvious. And I'll pause there. Wow. Wow.
I needed that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, we've been already talking about this, but it's just the willingness to let go of any plans. Any plans whatsoever, because what God plans will always be better than what we think is what we need to be doing.
Right. Right. And all of this craziness is a block to his wonderful plan for us.
Mm-hmm. I love this. Complexity is of the ego and nothing more than the ego's attempt to obscure the obvious. And when you think about planning, I don't know about any of you that are on the call, but anything I plan, there's always complexities. There's always like details and complex steps and things to do and busyness that are all distractions of the mind that don't accomplish anything but are there to be distractions. And when we let Holy Spirit be in charge, it's effortless. There's no work involved.
And it all goes well.
Yeah. If you're efforting, stop. Just stop, because efforting is a clear sign that you're not letting Spirit flow.
That goes back to this line, the Holy Spirit instant is this one and everyone. The one you want it to be, it is. The one you would not have it be is lost to you. When we get into that complexity and thinking we know,
I know. In the second paragraph down, too, it says, let's see, where was it there? This you will recognize in the holy instant in which you willingly and gladly give over every plan but his, for there is no peace perfectly clear because you have been willing to meet the conditions for peace. You can claim the holy instant any time and anywhere you want it. In your practice, try to give over every plan you have accepted for finding magnitude in littleness. It is not there. So that to me is like the perfect description of the world of form, trying to find magnitude in littleness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deidre?
Yes.
This is Angela.
Hi, Angela. Yeah.
What I struggle with, it's good to be on the call tonight. It's good to listen, and hi to everyone. And what I struggle with is wanting to be in the company of other people, family, and, well, I'm having a hard time translating. And I thought it's interesting to say, to give up every effort, but there's not even a but. I notice I tried to have conversation with family, and I keep running into roadblock. And I guess one of the things is because I think I want to see. I'll use I don't even know. I guess I shouldn't even judge it. I think I want to talk about things on a much deeper level, and they want to talk about the surface level, it seems like. But what I do forget in those instances, because I'm not patient enough to call on the Holy Spirit, and it has been probably almost, I've been talking about this on the call for a little bit of time, that I've been struggling with Holy Spirit, beginning to struggle with God a little bit. And so I just think it's a period of my growth. So I figure I put that out to anyone else who has possibly gone through that, because part of me wanted to say, you know, why did I go out? Why did I do, you know, on and on and on. I can tell you this morning that I was feeling that way. And then, I don't know, at the same time, it was odd. It was almost like choosing to say, no, stop. If I focus on what they want to talk about and what I want to talk about and how it doesn't seem like it comes together, it's once again having an expectation of the experience, an expectation of, you know, it's like, what you're talking about as far as magnitude and littleness.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm open to whatever you have to say, because, you know, this comes up quite often.
Well, I think what you just said really rings true about having an expectation about how things might go in your mind, you know, already having an expectation about how things might go with the entire dynamic, and just having the willingness to look at that part with spirit and just acknowledging that there's a part of my mind that does have an expectation, and just giving that part to spirit is enough. And, you know, just being gentle with yourself and saying, you know, allowing yourself to have whatever feelings that come up without judging them and feeling bad about them is really important too. Just allowing yourself to observe. You know, Eckhart Tolle calls it the silent observer, and just being, you know, the silent observer.
Okay.
So it's like just acknowledging whatever feelings stir within you, and just being willing to hand those over to spirit. You don't need to correct yourself or feel bad. It's just having the willingness to, for me right now, and this is what I feel, and just allowing yourself to be in that. And if you brought up in what you said there about having expectations about how certain dynamics would flow and maybe how certain things would go, and just being willing to look at those with spirit too. And the more you are willing to look at them, you'll find, or at least I have in my practice, the more I'm willing to look at my expectations, somehow spirit just takes them away. it's just my willingness to look is enough.
Well, I thank you, you know, because part of me feels like it's almost as though I can say, it's like I'm holding my breath. And there's not another way to describe it. It seems like the expectation is, if that makes any sense at all, instead of just saying, well, I'm trying to figure it out, I'm trying to understand, I'm trying, and you spoke earlier to effort, you know?
Yeah.
And, so I'm trying it, and it takes effort, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, that's what the experience feels like. It's like, okay, just hold your breath until something changes.
Right.
And it's like holding your breath for a very long time.
I would be just aware, like we were talking about the silent observer earlier, and just be aware if you're looking for approval outside yourself in those types of situations.
Okay.
Meaning that if a family, remember, we're all perfect reflections of one another, but if you're looking for approval based on how a family member acts or responds, just be cognizant of that. Just be willing to observe that. Because when we're truly, you know, loving and accepting of where we're at, it doesn't matter how someone else behaves, or, you know, they can show up however they want to show up, and there is no conflict. There is no discomfort. So I would say those are things just to be willing to look at without judgment. Just be willing to look at those things. I don't know if anybody else has anything they want to add to for Angela. Did that answer your question, Angela?
I thank you very much.
Okay.
I think so. It brings to light to say, okay, what am I doing in this situation? And number one, do I have an expectation? And number two, I mean, you talked a little bit to say, okay, looking for approval. But I also think is I'm judging myself and I'm judging the other person. And it's a tricky situation, and so you know, I'm still identifying with who I think I am. Do you know what I mean?
Well, any opportunity you have to be compassionate with where you're at, you know, that's
okay.
spirit, that's love, you know. So I think you hit the nail on the head about having expectations and judging yourself based on what's going on out there. And so just, you're doing the work just by having the willingness to look at it.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Does anybody else have anything they want to share?
I just think I think that's very good advice. And I needed to hear that also because I was doing exactly what Angela is talking about. And that did not occur to me. You know, I know there's two voices and two choices in my head, and I just got caught up this week, you know, and just got caught up. But that idea of just observing those thoughts is very powerful.
Because those thoughts are not who we are.
Exactly.
And it's, again, you know, putting our identity. When those thoughts are happening, we think we are those thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But spirit will always show us that we are not those thoughts. And it's just a mind training. It's just a willingness to say, okay, this is coming up, but this is not my true self. So I'm choosing something else.
It's almost like a bad habit.
when I'm
not in a peaceful place, I tend to revert to that kind of thinking, and once I get too deep in that, it's really, you know, I'll call on the Holy Spirit, but there's still a lot of resistance and temptation to stay in that, and you know, but that's okay.
That's okay.
All right.
And you're observing that resistance, and that's all we're being asked to do. That's it.
That's it.
That's all we're being asked to do. Because Holy Spirit will remove all the effects of my wrong thinking, so I don't need to do anything. It's thinking that I need to do something that's the issue.
Or figure it out.
You can see how that just keeps the false identity going, like thinking that we need to do something to fix it. So we don't self-correct.
I just thank God for Sunday nights. That's all I can say. And for the Holy Spirit's help in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly. We're all in this together, strengthening these ideas for each other. So. Okay, so you could live forever in the holy instant, beginning now, and reaching to eternity, but for a very simple reason. Do not obscure the simplicity of the reason, for if you do, it will be only because you prefer not to recognize it and not let it go. The simple reason, simply stated, is this. The holy instant is a time in which you receive and give perfect communication. This means, however, that it is a recognition that all minds are in communication. It therefore seeks to change nothing, but merely to accept everything. How can you do this when you would prefer to have private thoughts and keep them? The only way you could do that is to deny the perfect communication that makes the holy instant what it is. You believe that it is possible to harbor thoughts you would not live in keeping your thoughts to yourself alone. For in private thoughts, known only to yourself, you think. You find a way to keep what you have alone and share what you would share. And then you wonder why it is that you are not in full communication with those around you and with God who surrounds all of you together. And I'll pause there. So what really strikes me about this beginning paragraph is when we're identifying with the body or the small identity, the little identity, you'll notice how the human mind is always about striving and finding something later, finding peace later, peace is some obscurity that's in the future, right? But it's very clearly saying the holy instant is now. And that's all we ever have is right now. And so do not obscure the simplicity of this. If you do it, you will be only because you prefer not to recognize it and not to let it go. So again, it's talking about our attachment to these false identities. We think that it's real. It feels real. You know, we look at things and we think they're solid in time and space, but they're actually not. And so we've made this really real for ourselves. And the Course is saying, you know, teaching us, giving us a roadmap to look beyond these identities and to embrace what is our magnitude. It goes on to say, the holy instant is a time in which you receive and give perfect communication. This means, however, that it is a time in which you must be open to both to receive and give. It is the recognition that all minds are in communication. It therefore seeks to change nothing and accept everything. So when we're truly in alignment, it's kind of what we were talking about before with Angela's situation, we don't have a need to change anything. We're just simply resting in God. And it's like people, situations can occur and we're just staying centered in God. We don't allow little things to take us off that center point. And if we do get taken off that center point, it's fine. We haven't done anything bad. It's just about realigning back to the truth again. Just recognizing that we're temporarily off center. But that's really what peace is not, you know, being in the moment and not having the desire to change or fix anything, because it's that need for things to change that always is about something, chasing some elusive thing in the future, like, you know, wishing something was different.
Yep.
We know we've left the now then. We've left the now if we can't be at peace with exactly the way things are.
And that's where sin, the idea of sin, creeps in. When we have this awful resistance to just accepting whatever and however things play out.
Yeah.
You know, I was in a situation with someone, and he just was not for me. And I had to say that. I couldn't allow that to continue. And having said it, I have beaten myself up so many times.
Oh.
Well, maybe I could have been nicer about it. Maybe, well, if I had just, and it's like, and that's that idea that I must have sinned. I did something wrong there. And just really taking it to the Holy Spirit, observing it, just being the detached observer of it, all of that is the answer to just letting it go, letting it be exactly as it is. Then the idea of, well, what will other people think of me? That whole, you know, whenever you get into that concern, it's just...
Yeah, the need to please.
The need to please. It really is the human condition. I must say, I very rarely get myself into these situations. So I got to give myself that. But I somehow let this, you know, went down this path. And I just really thank you so much tonight, Deidre. And this reading is so wonderful. And it's very helpful. And I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You said something interesting that I feel called to bring up, and that is the word sin.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all these negative connotations of the word sin, and it really, you know, comes from all kinds of different things, religious upbringing and different, you know, learned ideas about the word sin, and it's, you know, bad and guilty, and first guilt and all of this stuff. But actually the true meaning of the word sin comes from archery, you know, with the
yes.
bow in it. And it actually means off the mark.
Yep, you missed the mark.
You missed the mark. So what Jesus is basically telling us is that it's not something bad. It just means you're temporarily not in alignment with the truth.
Yeah.
And you can feel that. You can feel when you're not lined up. You can feel it in your whole being when something doesn't feel right.
Absolutely.
It just means off the mark. It's not that you're guilty.
But the ego will get hold of it. But you know, the ego doesn't even exist. So I'm not even going to go there with that. And there is no sin.
That's right. It just means off the mark, and it's a moment-to-moment decision. And the beautiful thing about the Course is that Jesus is demonstrating to us that what, you know, he was just a man, and so what's possible for him is also possible for us too.
Are you there?
I'm here, yep.
Okay.
And David Hoffmeister, he runs the Living in Miracles Center. He's a very well-known Course in Miracles teacher. And he bases his center off of these two themes that we've been talking about tonight, and that is, no people pleasing, because when you're in the mind frame of people pleasing, you are inferring that guilt is possible, and guilt is poison. So no people pleasing, and there are no private thoughts.
Can you help me to understand there are no private thoughts, because that is a little bit, I want to say it another way, but I guess I don't get that. How's that?
Well, I would like to say or hear what you would say another way. Can you?
I guess I don't understand that I cannot think something in my mind, in other words, and someone else is not affected by, meaning, and someone is affected, excuse me, and someone is affected by my thoughts, but I don't think that's what it means. I'm not sure.
Well, to me, no private thoughts is acknowledging our oneness. So in this world of created, the world of form is not created by God, right? The world of form is created out of a belief in separation, a belief in, you know, that we are these bodies. So,
right, right. Okay.
The truth, though, is that we are all one mind. So the mind that believes it's separate believes that private thoughts is possible. But what the Course is saying is that there are no private thoughts because we're all one.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know.
I think I need to try to let it sink in. Essentially, I think I got what you're saying is that it's,
well,
not that we have bodies. Basically, it's not that at all. There's no separation between us.
Well, it's like if you think of yourself in, like, say you're doing a meditation and you're sending someone love, and maybe energetically you haven't spoken to that person for 10 years in linear time. Okay, I'm using a time example, even though we're not bound by time and space as spiritual beings. But even though you haven't had a connection with that person's energy for that amount of time, that love is still felt energetically.
Okay.
So, like, we connect on a level, and it's the same type of thing. If you're saying, you know, the world view is very different in terms of forgiveness than the Course's perspective on forgiveness. The Course's perspective on forgiveness is the recognition that what you think has occurred between a brother has never actually happened. And the world's perspective on forgiveness is that, you know, I'll be the bigger person if I forgive you. And the Course is saying, no. What forgiveness actually means is the recognition that nothing even occurred.
Okay.
So you can see how if by the world view, if I think that I've forgiven someone by saying I'm being the bigger person by forgiving you, but I still harbor thoughts of resentment toward another soul, another energetic, you know, being in this three-dimensional world, then that energy is picked up on too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, no, I do. I do. I follow you completely.
Okay.
And I thank you.
And someone else might have a comment on this issue too. Does anybody else have anything to add?
I just think it's a little bit of a challenge sometimes to get that from your head to your heart.
Sure.
You know, it's
I love
really,
that.
I really think,
that.
Yeah, it's part of the process. It really is part of the process. And the more we have these Sunday nights, the more we read the book, the more we're in touch and in alignment, you know, the more
yeah.
we believe that.
Yeah.
You know, something that was said tonight about gentleness with oneself,
mm-hmm.
and how I start to think about that, and it's as if something begins to melt away, you know, but keeping the shoulders up high, and, you know, I'm talking in form, of course, and holding your breath, and all, you know, all the array of, you name it, and by letting these things go, and talking about there are no private thoughts, by letting these things go, it just feels like there's only love. There really is only love. And yet, my ego is knocking at the door and saying, you know, how is anything going to get done this way? How is it, you know? So I'm really seeing that it's like, I have to rat on my ego.
I think you brought up an excellent point, Angela, and I just want to add this before we end, is that the idea of no private thoughts is really, it boils down to a willingness to being willing to take everything that we think, we want, we know, whatever it might be, and just turning that over to spirit and saying, I am willing to look at this with you. And just allowing the work to be done and transmuted by spirit.
Thank you.
That just, you know, as long as we're keeping little pieces of what we think of for ourselves and not really get, you know, if there are places we're not willing to go with spirit, then we're keeping, you know, the idea of separation alive. But if we're willing to take, you know, every little fragment, every little piece to spirit, then, you know, that's what a willingness of no private thoughts speaks, you know. That's from spirit right now.
I think journaling is really a good way to keep in touch with those private thoughts and release them, because if we're just thinking them, you know, when I get that out on paper, when I actually write it down, it's easier for me to let it go, you know.
Yeah.
I'll tear the paper up. Put it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny thing is, you know, there's a saying that my mind knows things that I don't even know. And so I don't know whether I'm using it in the right context, but I just think to myself, I don't even know I'm thinking these things. Well, when we get to talking, I guess that's then it comes to light. And I've never really been very good with the writing, but I say, I guess it's about beginning to start somewhere.
Mm.
Is that true, Paula? Beginning to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Whatever we can do
to break the spell, in a sense, you know, whatever we can do to just, what does he say? It all starts when the Son of God forgets to laugh. You know, whatever we can do to lighten it all up.
Yeah, the form of expression of the private thought isn't what's important. The thought is like just the willingness to be willing to look at them. You know, because the truth of the matter is we are all light. There is no darkness in the Son of God. That's what the Course says. There is no darkness.
Yeah.
There is no cruelty. There is no punishment. There isn't any of that. We're all light. And it's just an unlearning of these ideas that we've somehow bought into, that we're darkness and that, you know, there's anything but light in a child of God.
Yeah. This was wonderful tonight, Deidre. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
I hope you all have a miraculous week, and I look forward to being with you all again next week with Corinne.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank
you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night, Gigi.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.